maybe it's not bright, Monday morning. I hope you have had a good week last week. Hope you had a good day yesterday, Sunday. And we are going to start out with the third section, time of teaching on peace being granted in prayer in our prayer series. I hope you have learned and God has been able to reveal something to you through what he's given me so far. So we're going to wrap up today with peace being granted in prayer. Part three. Sorry, I couldn't get it all in on one, but I'm going to review real quick. Last week we talked about Jesus is our peace. You know, we oftentimes pray for or call on people and say, can you pray for me? I just need peace in this situation. You know, that's something we do say. And I understand that, but I just want you to know that the Bible does say very clearly that Jesus is our peace. And I read to you, and I'm going to read again because they're just, these scriptures are just too rich to pass by. But Ephesians 2, 11 through 18 says, therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, whom are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by the flesh in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. As I said, that is a dismal place. You were separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and having no hope and with it without God in the world. That verse right there is just, that's bad news. That's not good. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were previously far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember that. The blood of Christ. The cross. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new person, in this way establishing peace. And that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. Remember that. We'll talk about that in a minute. By it having put to death the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. And that's talking about the Gentiles who were far away and the Jews who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So Jesus is our peace. Jesus has done the work to provide the reconciliation we need between God and man. Because we talked early on about, you know, he is a holy, righteous God, and we cannot, as sinful man, get to him. So God has provided a way. God made access. So that same peace that was given to you, that allowed you to no longer be an enmity or a hostility to God, to be against God, that same prayer that allowed you into that relationship is the same peace he wants you to have for life. That same God is there for you, that did all those things to get you into that relationship. You know, we talked about youth that may think, I'm not good enough. I haven't done things. Well, that's the point of the gospel. You aren't good enough, and you haven't done enough good things. But it is God's great love to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, that's the gospel message. And then people say, you know, I have that relationship with him, but I've done many things, and I'm just at a place where I just can't approach him because I've just done too many things and I've been away too long. You know, I mean, there's so many things that we say to ourselves and that we listen to the lies of Satan. I mean, think about the prodigal son. If you say, I've been away too long, I haven't talked to him, I haven't read my Bible in a while, and, you know, those type things. Well, you know, as long as the prodigal son was gone, the father was waiting and looking for his return. That's the heart of God, is he is waiting for our return. He is longing for us to come back. I don't think he's waiting with folded arms when you come up and say, oh, It's you again. You know, I just, as I'm reading my Bible, I just don't think that's the heart of God. I quoted, put a quote to you from Max Lucado. God is always out there looking for his wayward children. He wants you to come back. He is constantly in the Bible issuing an invitation of come. Come to me. You know, so if you, when you read the Bible, you will see that that is not his heart. Okay? God has given you Jesus, who is our peace. But then even if you say, I don't know what to say, I've not been in a relationship with this, with God long, or I haven't cultivated that language, that relationship, so I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know how to pray. Well, he solved that problem too. God says he gives the Holy Spirit, who speaks for you to God when you don't even know what to say. I mean, that's amazing. I guess what I'm trying to say here is that when you come up with these excuses to stay away from God, I think he's made a lot of effort and given you a lot of scripture and words, and which I say words, but his Bible, to tell you that's not true. He wants you to come back. If he went all of this way to establish peace with you while you were still a sinner, which is what the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, then why would he still not be wanting to have, for you to have peace with him for your life? Okay? Think about that. He gave you peace to have a relationship. Why would he not go through great effort to give you peace to maintain that relationship? No, we are not going to do things the correct way, but it's more about him, and that's what I'm trying to convey. Look at all that he has done, because your relationship with God determines how you pray. You pray based on your identity. You have to know that you have peace with God, that you are a child of God. That's who you are. That's because what you do is based on who you believe you are. Okay? If you believe that you are royalty, you're going to act like royalty. You know, but I'm just saying, that's who I am. I know who I am. And when I go to him, I pray differently. I know that he accepts me. We talked about how that means you enter prayer, as it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't enter as a beggar or a pauper. I know that's my Father in front of me. Okay? So knowing to whom I pray gives me great peace. If I think of him as some uncaring judge who always just lays the gavel down as a letter of the law every time I break the law, then I don't want to approach him either. I just rather not hear it. I know it. I know I've messed up. But that's not who he is. And I think that Satan wants us to think that's who he is because we have laws and we have commandments. That's order. That's a life of not having just chaos where everybody's taking matter into their own hands. There's a standard, but I know from reading my Bible, Satan will keep you from reading your Bible. He wants you to think it's hard to read, it's hard to understand, it's a different culture, all those things. It is. But just like any other endeavor that I want to undergo, I research and find out more. I ask people. I go to classes on it. I take classes on it. I listen to podcasts on it. If you want to know something, you will find out about it. If you really want to know God, you will keep reading, and he will make it easier and easier to understand. He will make the scripture that you're on will be the topic someone else is talking about, and you'll be like, I was just reading on that, and I couldn't figure that out. You know, I think as long as I've walked with God, that is his heart. His heart is for me to understand, not to be left in the dark. I mean, it's hard to cultivate a relationship with someone when you don't really know them. So I would say that you can, peace is granted through prayer, but study the names of God. That's where a lot of your peace is going to come from. because Jesus is our peace, but study the names of God. I have some written down here. You know, and then, and you can do any search on the internet and find them. Dr. Tony Evans has a book on the names of God. I think Ken Hemphill has one on the names of God. But there's infinite information. You know, Elohim, God, mighty creator. I mean, God, creator, mighty and strong. That should give you peace. Pray and speak his name and talk to him and say, God, I know you are the creator of my body. Therefore, I want to know how it works. And I want to know what to do to bring life back to my body. My body is in disarray. My body, you know, has this situation going on. But you are the creator of my body. Do you see that? I am taking the weight off of me and putting it in prayer, putting it directly on God the Creator and saying, help me, because I know you can, because that's who you are. That's why you study the names of God. It gives you great peace to know exactly who you're praying to. And he has revealed himself through many names in Scripture. You know, there's other names of him in the Bible. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. When you are sitting around and you can't figure out how to meet your needs, then you pray to Jehovah Jireh. Now, you don't have to know all of his names to pray to him for a certain situation. I have to have a name because I can pray this situation. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it just increases the richness of knowing all the facets of him. Just like any relationship, I want to know my husband in various ways. I love knowing who he is and his profession. I love knowing who he is as a father. I love because he's different in those two areas. So that studying the names of God is the same way. You're just enriching your knowledge and enables you to have peace, because when you study all of the names of God, or even if it's just a few, you are enabled to have more peace automatically, because that's, you know him as this certain way, in this certain way. You can look at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Divisor makes holy. Lord, I'm, and you pray those things. You say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. But my heart is bent on, I've been this habit of this certain way. I don't want to be this way. I want to be holy. I know that you are holy. That's what this name says. And that's what your word says. Help me to be holy. Help me to not fall into this sin. So there is lots of names of God in the Old Testament, and you should look at those and look those up. Then there's also the attributes of God, and that's more of, you know, what is he like? That's a fancy name to say that, but you know, there's words that they say that you kind of do have to look up, and Dr. Tony Evans has on his website where you can look at the names of God and you can have them pronounced, because Makadesh or, you know, Nisi or some of these other ones are not easy to pronounce. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing them exactly correct, but, you know, it's just something he put on there. But it explains them a little bit. But even things like God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. You know, the psalmist found that out talked about that in Psalm 139. Even if I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you are there. Even if I go and make my bed in Sheol, you are there with me. You know, I mean, he was just amazed because he knew there is nowhere he could go where God wasn't there. Does that not give you peace? If you are somewhere where you're like, even if you move somewhere and you're like, I shouldn't have moved here. Know that God is still there with you. So when you pray, you can talk to him on that. I am in a place where I'm not supposed to be. I think I should not have moved here. God, but you are here with me still. Help me to make it here. Help me to prosper here. Help me to see if I need to move back or move to another place. Do you see how your prayer changes? Your prayer changes because you know He's always there with you because He's omnipresent. If you look at another attribute of God, He is immutable. Now, that's a different word we don't use very much these days, but it's a great comforting word. He never changes. He's immutable. And that's amazing because you're not worried that He is off on some whim, you know, and He's mad at something new. No, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So your prayers come to Him as the same Father, the same God who did and sent Jesus, who sent Jesus to do what He did, to die on the cross for us so that we could have a relationship, so that we could have peace with Him. He's that same God. And when we've wandered far away or we wandered away too long, He's the same God that's still saying, come back. He's still the same God as is represented in the son, the story of the prodigal son, where the father is ever looking for the son to return home. And what the thing about the son, it wasn't like his son just made a trip and he was waiting for his son to come home. It was the son who asked for his inheritance, which means, I wish you were dead right now so I could get my money. So go ahead and get my money so I can, you know, so you can be dead to me. I mean, it's not a great scenario. The son did not do great things. He severed that relationship in the harshest way. I mean, how would you feel if your son said, you know, I really would like your money instead of you, so can you go ahead and give it to me? What? That's harsh. And he took his money and he went and spent it on lavish living. He didn't even go build a house and start a career. And then when he's destitute and when he's in the pigsty, looking at the pig slop and thinking, I should eat this because I'm so hungry, he stops and comes to his right mind and says, even the servants in my father's house live better than this. I will go to my father and say, I've sinned. I'm taking you back as my son. And he's like, what? But that's the story of the heart of God. That's the God to whom you pray. He is always waiting for you to come back and say, I am so sorry. And He says, I love you. That's to whom you pray because He never changes. So whatever He is in the Bible, He is today. He is just. He is always, you know, perfect and right in His decisions. He is merciful. That's one of His attributes. That's who He is. He is full of mercy. You know, the scripture says His mercies are new every morning. He's not waiting for you to wake up and say, okay, I remember what you did yesterday. Now let's start again on talking about it. You know, you about something that you have done wrong, but that's not His heart, is to just continue to bring it back up just as a needling point for you. That's not His heart. Read about His attributes. He's loving. He's holy. He's gracious. He's glorious. Oh, I love to read in Revelation how glorious He is. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. What a great sight, which overwhelming sight. But read about God so that your prayer life is changed, so that you pray in peace, knowing how great He is, how good He is, how mighty He is, how unchanging He is, how loving He is, how all-seeing and all-knowing He is. You peace in prayer is to know to whom you pray. Okay, so the last thing we're going to talk about is, you know, what steals your peace? I asked that for the first time, peace granted in prayer. Peace, and I answered because it was the biggest one I think that people you're aggravated at someone, and your prayers tend to be at that person and changing their situation. And I said we do have a responsibility to pray for people. Yes, that's that is valid, that you want to pray for them, but bring them to God a little differently than just, you know, praying for that one little situation that's your sore spot. Because ultimately, we talked about, people may steal your peace, Unfortunately, we allow them to steal our peace. But Ephesians 6, verses 11, 10, 11, and 12 say this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. There are some, you know, things to pray and give you peace. He's strong and He's mighty. Put on the full armor of God. Oh, that would give me peace. God has given me full armor. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Not the schemes of so-and-so. The schemes of this devil. And it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There is your battle. So people are not my enemy. But I talked in the first time about what other things may steal your peace, and we just talked about them briefly, and I didn't go into them. I just went into more of the one that people steal your peace. So let's look at a few of the other ones that I touched on. What could steal your peace? Lack of control. Yes, I kind of feel that one. You know, when things feel out of control, I feel like if I don't watch, my peace is lost. But you have to look at who is your relationship with. I want to know that when I'm reading my Bible, I learn that He is the one in control of everything. You know, in Colossians 1:17, it says He existed before anything else and He holds all creation together. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In Christ all things hold together. There is nothing out of His control. If in Him He holds all things together. That's who God has allowed you to have a relationship, is Himself who holds all things together. I mean, that's the peace that says, God, I feel, and you pray, God, I feel so out of control. I feel like so many things are out of my control, and I feel like I'm just, you know, bouncing and reacting. I need your steadiness because you're in control of all things. Help me fix my eyes on you. You know, I know you are in control. I know this didn't catch you by surprise. Those are the ways you pray. You want, you know, what if, you know, you don't have peace because you say, I don't know how to trust. Well, you're not trusting in people. You're trusting in God. God didn't call you to trust people. He called you to love people. He called you to trust Him. So what if you say, I don't have this relationship in prayer with God because I just don't know everything. I need to know more about Him. I need to know more. Well, yeah, I understand that. And that's a good valid point. But don't wait until you feel like you know everything. I really need to know more and more and more. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. Even just the first amount to get me into that relationship was enough. For God so loved the world, that's me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was enough. That was great. That was amazing. And then from there, I just grew in that relationship. You're never going to know everything about God, but I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to trust His love for me because, I mean, while we were yet sinners, He sent Christ to die. Christ died for us. That's a trustworthy much, you know? When things are out of control, cling to the one who is in control. Think about that for the disciples. They would not have such a large, sharp shot of cortisol, that stress hormone, in their body had they awakened Jesus earlier. But they were trying to control things that were out of their control. And it wasn't until they realized that they could not control the wind and the waves. That's where we need to be. We need to realize early on, we are not in control, and we are not going to be in control. I don't care how much it looks like it. You know, we have these revelations at times when we really realize. We can call on and we can pray to the one who is in control. What is another thing that steals your peace? Lack of insight. You know, I don't know exactly what is going on in this situation, so I don't know how to proceed. Well, go to God in prayer. And that's where you get peace of saying, you know, quoting that scripture, James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, that he let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without criticizing. So he gives to everybody generously without criticizing. And then it says at the end, and it will be given. When you don't have insight on the situation, instead of fretting and worrying and thinking of all the worst case scenarios and all the what ifs, as my dad says one time, God is not into the what ifs. He knows. Then pray to God and say, I need wisdom. You are wise. That is one of your attributes. But you even said I could call on you and ask. You wouldn't criticize me for asking and say you should have known better. And you said you would give it to me. You know, we all have to look to him for the answers. I may sound like I know a lot of things on this talk here, but honestly, I don't have all the answers either. You know, another way that you may lose your peace, you feel like, is lack of resources. That's where you go back maybe and in reading your Bible, but also in studying your Bible, you learn the title Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. God, I don't have resources, but I know you provide. You are the provider. You're the great provider, and I have a great need. This is what I need. And you talk to him about it. And I don't know how he answers every situation, but that's who he is, the God who provides. And we'll wrap up with this, because we talked about fear. Fear can cause you to lose your peace. But, you know, when you read, even in Matthew 6, it's so funny, that's the first thing I thought about when I was thinking about when people are fearful and they lose their peace. And it's funny that the heading said of Matthew 6, starting at verse 25, it said, the cure for anxiety. And I was like, yep, that's what I wanted to talk about. So listen, he goes on and talks about, don't be worried about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, because there's fear. What nor for your body, what you will put on, your clothes. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? No, you just, that's funny. You're way important. He put a lot of much more, so much more important than they. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat, and what are we to drink, and what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. For do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. If we truly understand how much he loves us, then we can approach God in prayer in a totally different way. We can approach him as, Father, I am here, and you are peace. Let me just sit a while here, Father. Before I break into my laundry list of things to do, I just want to sit with you. That is how peace is granted through prayer, by knowing who he is and what he can do and all that he's capable of, yes, but just go sit with the Father. I want you to ponder these scriptures. There's a section in here that I came across not too many years ago that I never realized was there. It's kind of tucked in the middle. I think there's two sentences before, two sentences afterwards. And it, I really would if I memorized the verse or quoted it. I think I don't think I would have put that in there. If I quote it to you without it right now, you probably never know it's missing. But it's like a gem in there. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You see that? Let your request. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's finish with that this week. Just ponder on that. Right there, tucked in the middle, is this little sentence. The Lord is near. That should give you great peace. I hope you learned something about God today. I hope that it settled your heart in many ways to know who He is. And I hope you join me next week for Monday's meditation. I will see you then. Bye-bye.